And that's where
how bizarre.
This
is where my bumper should have been. I don't know what's happened to it. All I'm hearing is my own voice echoed. So I'm going to just start the bloody program and see what happens. And let's see what happens at all. So it's very interesting. There we go. I seem to have dissolved the echo thing. And I'd like to welcome my guest. Well, really, I'm your guest. Rebecca Jernigan, welcome back to Journeys, your own show. Do you want it back? I'll be very happy. I've been off for 3 weeks now, and it was quite a relaxation. So, hello, how are you?
Hello, darling, how are you?
Hello, darling. All I want is that. Anyway, so, yeah. Everything seems to be completely bananas. I just got a message from Willow, is that she heard the beginning of the Journeys bumper before the adverts. So, you know, I was fully expecting do 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 do, and it didn't happen. I just came in and it was just silent. So I just started talking. So, and then I brought you in, and that's the rest is history. It started out as mystery. So today, tonight. This afternoon, who knows? My guest right now is Rebecca Jernigan, and it feels like we've been teleported into this strange space. You know, it's like white room. So let's decorate the wall, shall we? What colour would you like the room?
Oh my! I green is my favorite color.
Okay, what particular shade of green?
I like it to look like grass green.
Grass green. So there we go. Grass green. There we go.
Yep.
There. We now have a grass green room, and welcome to Journeys. Well, so let's go for a nice walk along this nice smooth. Oh, what a lovely! It's well clipped, nicely clipped lawn. I have to say, very good. This is radio, the magic of stagecraft.
It is. You can just do anything you want.
Yeah. Hang on. All I need is to wave my hand like this and everything's green.
That's right.
That's right. And it didn't... Is that supposed to be a jingle?
There it is. The magic wand is charged.
Yeah. If only it worked. All right. Oh, I didn't hear it, but you did. You heard the wand there. There we go.
I did. Right. I did.
I'll better press
it. It was beautiful.
There we go.
We did two passes, by the way.
You did, yeah, because I didn't hear either of them.
Two passes with the wand. Yes. Bless your heart.
Well, one each. One for the left, one for the right. Yeah, so we've had some changes. I mean, I've been offline doing my thing, which is a very bizarre little sideline that I didn't expect me to go down, it's been quite interesting and incredibly creative. So I'm very pleased that I've gone down that. But I have to apologise to everybody else for being standoffish aloof in some way over the last 3 weeks. In a way, it's been a real a holiday for me. You know, I haven't had a holiday in I don't remember the last time I had one. I think it was the last time I went to Utah, which is about 1998. So that's the last time I left the country, at least, to go on a holiday. I very rarely leave my house, let alone my town. So I stay in for a holiday.
Well, you've been missed, we can tell you that.
I've been missed, have I? That's good.
You have been missed. Yes, you have. You've been missed. Everyone was looking for you and lots of chatter about JP, where is he? And I knew that your net was down, but it was a really long time. I thought, wow, that's just some crazy stuff there. Usually it's not quite that long. That's but right. I am glad, JP, that you had an opportunity to kind of recharge your batteries and use that other side of self that we get so caught up in this techno world with the internet and our cell phones and televisions and iPods and tablets and you name it. And so it's great to be able just to just to find out who you are again,
yeah,
in a sense.
Very much, very much. It was like that. And, you know, being off the grid, you know, not being seen was quite... Yeah, it was quite relaxing, actually, you know, just, you know, not having... I mean, because people call me up and, you know, demand my time to speak to them and to listen. And it's often, you know, it detracts from the work that I'm doing. Because, you know, I do about 9 different things simultaneously, like a little bit at a time. This is the only way I could do it. And when I say different things, I'm really talking in completely different fields. You know, one might be like literal woodwork, one might be software work, one might be cooking, you know, building, you know, building something. You know, there's all these different little projects I've got, and those are the offline ones. And then I've got different, you know, websites and things like that that I maintain online. So not having to do all of those things, and my website was down, and it was like, okay, so what would happen if JP was off the air? And, well, what was it like? Did it, you know, when you say you miss me, but... you know,
oh, there was a void there, dude. There was a void.
A void.
There was a void area. Yeah, the place where you normally reside, in the sense, was not there. The energy wasn't there, and really, it can be a little disconcerting. You know, that's the cool thing about the technology is that you're all the way over there, and I'm all the way over here, but yet we can make this energetic connection. And so when you can't make that energetic connection, it leaves a void, because we're still not very good at the telepathic stuff yet. So it left a void. And, you know, go searching for you, and you're still not around, you're not posting, you're not anywhere. And I'm like, okay, so you still have an internet. So it was a void.
Well, that's interesting. And I have to say, I haven't been on Facebook for several reasons. Number one, that Facebook is a rabbit hole. You know, you could let, you know, easily get...
Yes, it is.
It's a vortex, and
yes.
I just wanted to get some things done, which I have done. And one of them was tonight. We had a webinar with Alex Collier, and I didn't want to be attacked in any way. I wanted a really clean line. As it is, I did get knocked offline once. My computer froze. I don't know whether I was attacked or not, but my Firefox froze, and we had to stop and restart the whole damn thing, and that was a bit of a pain. But I have made a single contiguous video, which is in the process of trickling up onto the internet and will be available soon to the video on demand library, and that will be available soon. So anybody who's like missed any parts of it and tuned into the show tonight, we'll get it to you as soon as possible. Send a message to James at alexcollier.org, and he'll give you a sort of a ticket to get to see the combined edit. So having said that, let's talk. Well, first of all, I haven't been the only one who's been offline and, you know, MIA, well, not really MIA, but, like, away from the limelight, let's say, Rebecca Jernigan.
True that.
And,
true that.
They say, you know, that, you come to Revolution Radio on the way, once on the way up and once on the way down. No, that's the old joke. Anyway, no, so... You're coming back. You've got a show, and something's happening. What's happening? Where did it start? And, you know, fill me completely in, because I've, as I said, as you know, I've been off, out of the loop. I didn't even know there was a loop. So fill the loop in. color me in. Give me that green crayon.
I'll color you in. I'll color you all in with the details. Well, it actually started... I spoke with Carrie Cassidy when I was on the Egypt trip with her, and I know that this was brewing back then, in which she had, even prior to that trip, she had bought the rights to ProjectCamelotTV.org, I think it is, could be .com, I'm not sure.
Might be
and,
.tv, might be.
Yeah, ProjectCamelotTV, yeah. And so in the last... oh, I don't know, about the last 30 days, we have gotten everything together, and we're doing what they call a soft rollout tomorrow, which is Tuesday, the 15th, and my show will be up at 2 p.m. Central Time. I'm doing an hour show on Tuesdays during the day, and then a two-hour show on Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And this is going to be a video broadcast. That does not mean that you have to have the capabilities of viewing. There will be capabilities of just listening to it like you would a radio show. If you're listening to it live, you can also watch the video. There's going to be a couple of different ways of doing that. That'll be coming in the instructions. And then once the show has been is over and done with, then it gets edited. And the editing is not for the content, but to make sure, like in any, like in the case of you today, you had a mix up in the middle of it, so you had to redo it and kind of have to splice that video together to make it, you know, a seamless operation. So what they'll do is, if there's been no issues with audio or visual, then it goes up on a special YouTube channel and it stays there. And that will be another link that people can go and watch and or listen to the show if they can't watch it live. And that's not just me. There's over 20 hosts on this Project Camelot TV venue. So there's a guy from Veterans Today, Brian Stokes. I can't even think of them all, I'll tell you the truth. There's a bunch of people that other people out there that are listening would know about. And I'm doing my Journey show as usual, a little bit of change up with it because it is video. It's going to be a little different because there'll be the ability to, if I have anything visual to show or the guests have anything visual to show, that can actually be screen shared with the audience so that people can begin to see what's being talked about. And if you can't see, if you do not have the capabilities of seeing it during the live, you can go back and watch it in the YouTube. So we are doing a four-week rollout. And then after that point, then we're going to be doing, you know, it'll go into a regular production. Right now, these next 4 weeks are kind of the, you know, the prototype, if you will, for getting everything set. And we're doing it through, partially through Google Hangouts and, some other technology that I'm not real familiar with. So there's just some different ways of it being produced. And it's going to have the ability, people are going to have the ability in various ways to listen in. Like here, when we're here on Revolution Radio, they can go in either into your chat box and listen, or they can go to Rev Radio and listen. So, but it's still the same venue. They click a link. You know, you guys are connected together. Well, it'll be the same thing with that, except for there'll be some with, like I said, with video. There'll be some if people have Google, be able to do it through the Hangouts. There's also a third-party software that they're bringing in, and I'm sure there's going to be some special links. Now, we were supposed to have had those links up already for people to be able to go in and have those. They're not quite ready yet. So this is why we're doing kind of this soft rollout for the next 4 weeks, 4 weeks worth of shows, is so that we can get everything all working together, get all the production people, you know, behind the scenes, the tech guys and all of that, and everybody kind of in sync. And so, because it is a brand new venue, and we're also going to be expanding almost from the get-go and probably trying some different protocols. So it's really, you know, we're trying to move forward with it and, you know, just really trying to make it a real viable medium, so to speak, for people to be able to go in and not only listen, but to be able to see. It's always fun to be able to see the picture of those who are talking. You know, people get real fascinated with that. So, you know, as I was stating to you earlier, I can no longer, you know, do the show in my jammies. I'm telling you, it's just terrible. So I'm going to have to actually have clothes on without my having my pajamas on.
Now, Rebecca, this is not like it's unusual for you, because you started out as, you know, a TV psychic. And like, you're on, that's where you, like, kind of This is where you broke your media, cut your media teeth, you know.
I did.
And that was back in the 80s when everybody had the high hair thing. And
I did have big hair. Yes,
had,
I did.
Yeah, you know, everybody, even me, and I have no hair. So that's the, you know, I was really impressed. I know I wore a helmet most of the time. it does help actually. If you walk in with a helmet on, you get a different look. If you take your helmet off and you're bald, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah,
but
you got a whole different look.
It
again.
It would look different, and people would treat you differently. It's very strange, it's the whole
true.
Brow thing. Anyway,
it is.
High brow, low brow. So, coming back to telly, coming back to being seen, you've now got, really, I mean, in the days when you're on TV, it wasn't like you could dictate, well, I want this black, you know, I want this fade in coming here. You can now produce this thing. You can now hone the look of it.
That's right.
In your experience, have you come across things that you thought, oh, really, that just doesn't work? I'd do it differently. Have you had those sort of thoughts? Now you've got the opportunity to do TV.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's like when you're on a video screen and people can see you, they see your background, a lot of times people will have a tendency to focus on what's going on behind you as opposed to what's going on because they get distracted. So my deal here is I'm going to try to put up something that's kind of plain, benign, or white, or something behind me, so that there's no distraction, there's nothing else, because my guests will also, some of them will also be on video, and they may have presentations, they may have this or whatever's going on. So I want them to be able to pay attention to what's really important, which isn't, you know, how their house looks or their room looks or where they're at or, you know, that kind of a thing. We did some training sessions with some people, and there was a really nice guy. He's going to be a host on there. Where is he at? He's in Wiltshire, I think is where he told us he was at. And he's just got all these really cool things in his house. So he had to walk around with his laptop. And he's got skylights everywhere, actually just kind of like an open forum. I mean, it's just like all these windows everywhere, window rooms. We call them sunrooms here. I don't know what you call them over there, but we call them sunrooms.
We call them loft conversions.
You know, so there was this sunroom, and I mean, just, and it was really, really unique. But it's also disconcerting because you kind of go, wow, that's really cool. It does give you a little insight into the person as well, if you're so inclined to be in kind of that space, which unfortunately that's just part of my natural way of being. And, so it was one of those things like, well, that is really cool. You know, if I had a guest and he was trying to, you know, show the audience whatever it was he was looking at, how awesome is that to be able to see behind you? So I don't want to take away from any of the guests. When I'm on my show and it's just me, then that might be different. I don't know yet. My first show out will be just myself and Carrie Cassidy. And really what I'm going to be doing in the beginning is kind of going through a little bit of my history, because Carrie's audience doesn't know me very well, and it's not really Carrie's audience, but we have the opportunity to draw in her audience, obviously, plus my own. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of history, a little bit of information on some of the very odd, strange events that have been taking place in my space over the past few months, and we can talk about that here in just a few minutes. And then bring her on and have her give some of her latest information, as well as how this whole thing came to be with the Project Camelot TV. Because it's not for Carrie. She is literally building it for the hosts. So it's a really interesting thing. You know, I have guests already lined up. I've got, I don't know, 8 shows already, you know, in the... scheduled, and 8 people that are going to be coming on, and so it's, you know, it's just going to be a really neat thing.
I am really stoked for you. That is, you know, it's like coming back and you're telling me this, I, wow, oh, that's great, finally, because it's like I've known something was in the offing, and I know something was brewing, I'm really pleased for you. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. And, of course, I've already extended the invitation. I'm going to be having you on, and so you can't wear your jammies either.
Oh, my God, I've got to get my look, today, you know, I have a winged collar. You know, like an old-fashioned shirt
yes.
that you wear with a bow tie, or what's called a black tie.
Yes.
So I wore that and a waistcoat and a black jacket, just to be a little.
So you were looking rather spiffy.
Yeah, well, apart from the sort of long, straggly beard and straggly hair and, like, weird, you know, reading glasses. But anyway.
Yeah, I love my reading glasses. Yeah. They change the whole look of the face.
Yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, little square things. Well, you see, I've got a very round sort of ovoid face, and it detracts. It, you know, it sort of matches. Anyway, forget my face. Listen, you did not see this face. You do not know this person. It's been a few years now. We've been doing this stuff. I remember your guides asked me on.
they yes.
said, can you remember exactly what they said?
You know, that was like 7 years ago. Not exactly, but I can tell you, as they said, that he needs to share the information about the seven rays.
All right.
Because you were ready. And you didn't think you were.
No, I was waiting for you to get the guest on. Because so far, you know, I was a listener to your show, right? This is where I was. I'd just come out of a terrible relationship that really might knock me sideways. As you do. Why do you listen to internet radio? Why do you move to a new country? Because, you know, some crap like that has just happened. Anyhow, so I was sort of listening and I was thinking, oh, I'd really like to learn more about the seven rays. I know, I'll check out internet radio. Let's see if anybody's on internet radio. And of course, I'd been doing internet radio with the girlfriend that I'd broken up with, and it was like music radio, and I really didn't want to go back there. Somebody had said, you should speak more. You know, because I used to do DJing, and I used to, like, I just played records, and I didn't say anything. I would just play one record after another, and I'd just do it, you know, just playlist it. And people said, why do you not speak? You got a nice voice. And I didn't get it. I didn't believe it. You know, until, and it came round, is that I was, and this was a few years back, a few years before that, and I'd been doing a few shows, you know, and a few of these music shows. And like I said, I didn't speak very much. But I made an announcement on the stage at the local festival. And a few, you know, half an hour later, I felt a tap on my shoulder and said, "Here, yours, is your name Jeremy?" And I said, "Yeah, how did you know that?" She said, "I recognise your voice from the radio." And I thought, oh, crap.
Oh my.
Somebody's recognized me. Oh crap. Anyway, but it still took a few years to actually gain confidence in it. And but actually what had happened, now you have your connection with your Elohim. And I have my I have my hello him, because I greet my guides by saying hello, and they say hello, and that's where it starts, and it's that's how it happens, and so I call them hello him, and one of the things that they said back in 2005. Now 2005 was before I met this other girlfriend, before I'd done any radio. I was living in a trailer, I was bankrupt, you know, the whole thing, and. You know,
just having too much fun in life.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was getting down to, and you know what? You know, I was kind of almost headed that way. I was deliberately headed towards zero. I was looking for the zero point. What does it mean for a human being to be at zero? No money, right? Well, yeah, but still, no money, but you might have assets or something like that. You know, let's just strip it down, take it down, keep taking it down. You know, what's essential? You know, I found a place that had low rent, and I mean really low rent, and it was, and I lived on a you know, diet of you know, easy, simple, basic food and thought, and, you know, it's like a sort of retreat sort of time. And it was really good. But at the same time, I did a lot of, the conversations with this being, who it turns out to be me, as you do. I've since then, I collected all of the channelings, I would say, the scribblings that I made. I got them all digitized, and eventually I did them on the laptop anyway. And last year I collected them in a database that I could then search. And it was fascinating because it was almost like they had kind of made me do this from the beginning. Because of the way I stored them. I stored them all in a particular date order. You know, the same way I do it on the archives here. And it made it really easy to collate. And then I made a website that I could then upload segments. So I would then... So since last December when I did this, I've been dipping into it, and I search for a word, or I just hold down the scroll button, you know, just press the button and close my eyes and just wait for a moment and then let go, and to see where it stops, because it just scrolls through them, and it's usually something that is relevant. You know, it's a bit like dipping into a book at random to find the message, because that's, you can do this. That's how the way the soul works. And most of the time, you know, these scribblings, I was just kind of whining about stuff. You know, when am I going to get laid? When am I going to get some money? You know, all that sort of stuff. You know, I was looking forward to being poor. Now what? You know, most of it was like, why aren't I getting laid? As you do, yeah. So, I was in my 30s.
It's a guy thing, man.
Yeah, it's a guy thing. You know,
why can't I find my twin flame or my soulmates or my soul family? Anyway, long story. But I did, you know, I have all that, you know.
That's not the end of it. It's the beginning of a load of more crap, you know. Twin flames. Yes. Ha, ha, ha. Twin flames, yeah. Like two people with flamethrowers. That's what it's like. Here. Here. Here, back. Yeah, that's what twin flames are like. Forget it. Don't bother. Find people that you like. Enjoy the company. And, yeah. Anyway. Aside from that,
you digress.
I digress a little bit. Well, it's been a journey, hasn't it? This is what it's all about. Anyway, so I then found myself onto this into your chat room, and then you started letting me on your you let me loose on your audience, and it seemed to animate everybody in the chat room. They seemed very excited about it. So I thought, oh, that's quite interesting how that response come. So I'll start my own radio show then. Since I've already had the experience of doing radio, I have studio equipment, $500 microphone. I'm able to produce radio shows. I mean, I've been producing music for years, so it's just talking instead of playing. And I've done my share of playing, and now it was time to do some saying, and I had no idea what I was going to talk about, and I discovered that in the last few years I've got some very strange ideas about things that are not, I mean, although they're, you know, I think they're truthful, I find that they're very extraordinary for the average human. So thank you for being a great part of that. You were key, in fact.
Well, thank you for accepting what was shared with you.
Stepping up. Yeah, it's all about stepping up.
We all have to do it.
Yeah.
It is. It is. So, let's talk about... Let's shift gears just a little bit here. Because... we live in some very interesting times, and with you being gone for these last 3 weeks and then stepping back into this world again, because when you lose connection All right, let me reframe that. When you remove yourself from that daily flow of information and back and forth sharing and the busyness of it all as well. I mean, there's always the busyness, but you get disconnected from all that. You get back into yourself for a little bit. And then when you come back, you have to make this readjustment. You're still in a readjustment stage. And during that time, you've made, and this is true of just about anybody that does this, you've made some discoveries about yourself, and you've also cleared some space, and you've also let off some steam. You've kind of rebalanced the self again, and you come back with some different ideas. And a lot of that is attributed to the energetic time frame that we are currently experiencing on this planet. And the planet herself is going through some major shifts and some major changes, and there's a war going on, in case anybody hasn't seen it yet or hasn't felt it. But that doesn't make it a negative. I mean, you know, we can sit here and warmonger all day long. You know, for God's sake, you can get on Facebook and it's just like opening up the daily news in your local television station. It's just filled with negative, 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 you know, the bad side. But in some of that negativity, we got to be a little bit fair here. I'm going to kind of balance the scales here a little bit. Is the pouring out of information that has been hidden from humanity. And they come in the guise of whistleblowers and in the guise of conspiracy theorists, people such as yourself, myself. You know, I've been given information all my life about different events and about different things, and at the time I didn't really particularly understand all of them until years later when the times kind of catch up with the visions and the information, right? So as we're traversing these next, who knows how long, months, weeks, months, years, the shifting is just a constant undulation of shifting. It used to be you'd get a shift and then you could feel it shift back out. Now it just seems like it's in a constant, almost a constant state of shifting in and shifting out, shifting in and shifting out. It can throw the most balanced of people into a frenzy. So we kind of all have to be a little bit more patient with ourselves. That's easier said than done. And I highly recommend unplugging. I specifically designed my schedule to do my readings and my classes and my shows so that I'm only allowing myself 3 or 4 days a week, depending on if I have classes or not. And the other 3 days, I'm unplugged. It's creating a balance so that I'm getting back to the nature thing, getting outside and getting all of that, and really sensing these energies and these energetic shifts that are going on underneath our feet or all around us, everywhere. So for those people out there that are experiencing this shift after shift after shift after shift, and they are coming unglued, it's because they need to come unplugged for a little bit. If you know of somebody, please get them, unplug them from their computer for a while. Take the cell phone away.
You know,
and take them out on a picnic. Mm-hmm. Go bird watching. Something, anything. You know.
I know, because actually, you know, I have a friend. He during the time, I have a friend who came round and he said, "I've got my metal detector. Let's go up to the field." So we went for a really, really long walk and up the hill, and it was lovely and spectacular, and you know, and really good to kind of just go and do some boy things. I think I've been missing some boy stuff, you know, just like good stuff. He's a good mate. And so we have such a ungrounded time of it, And so it's good. And I do my best to ground, literally ground. You know, I go into my garden, I take off my shoes, I stand in the soil, let my electrons flow through, you know, just discharge. Because it's like we're a battery. We have capacitors. Multiple batteries. I think the chakras are batteries, and they store different frequencies of energy. Now, you were talking about color, and it's been bouncing around that something that your guides told me a long time ago as well, it was just a very short remark that they made, and they said, make a note of what color the day is. What color do you perceive the day is when you wake up in the morning? And you know, but at that time I wasn't particularly disciplined. I couldn't have done that so well. And you know, I did manage it for about 10 days, which was pretty good. What it turned out to be, that was going for me. It was going purple, blue, purple, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red, magenta, violet. You know, it just goes, it went backwards down the rainbow for me, which I think was quite interesting. And I'm going to have to do it again. But, you know, Journeys listeners, I'd like to pass this on. I'd like to see if it's constant for everybody. Maybe if everybody made a note, you know, what colors, maybe for 10 days, 2 weeks, just to kind of get a good feel of the rhythm of it. What color is today? Is the first question you ask yourself as you can. Maybe leave a note by the side of your bed. What color is today? And see, just with the first thing that comes into your head, really, just if you see the color or hear the name or see the word, just see. And make a note of it if you can. And let's see, you know, if anybody comes back next week, what color was today? And have you ever done that for yourself?
I have to tell you is that when the Elohim speak to people, even though it doesn't sound, I don't sound different, those that are more sensitive can sense the change. But I don't remember what they say. It's a personal conversation they're having between you and them.
All right.
And if they want me to remember, then you will tell me. I mean, it really is, it does work that way for me. I mean, even though I'm considered a conscious channeler most of the time, there are specific times when the messages aren't for me, and I'm not, it doesn't, they, I know I'm not allowed to hear it because it isn't for me. But it's not so personal. Obviously, what they told you then wasn't so personal, isn't something you can't share with me and obviously the rest of the public here. So, let's talk a little bit about color, though. That was part of some of the things that I wanted to get into with some of the changes that have shown up in my world over the past few months. And one of them is the constant, every day, it's a nondescript shape of color. And they're different colors. Sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's purple, sometimes it's green, sometimes it's yellow. I've had a orange and a red a couple of times. Sometimes it's just gray, and it comes by as movement. It almost moves through my space. It's not like it just pops in and hangs there and then leaves. It's like there's this movement of this color, call it a cloud or whatever you want to call it, and it moves through. Sometimes it'll slow down real slow, and then it just kind of moves out and kind of just dissipates. It disappears, different than dissipates. It just is there, and then it isn't. So that's been happening, I mean, more frequently than not over since the beginning of the year.
That's interesting.
And It is. And so I'm one of these kind of people that when I notice something, I don't give it too much attention. Instead, I try to use my antennas, so to speak, to kind of touch base with it to see if there's something I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to observe it? Am I supposed to interact with it? Am I supposed to talk with it? Am I supposed to communicate? Is it observing me? So it's I'm doing this from a observer viewpoint and not from a personal attachment to it. You know, I'm not emotionally involved with it, not entangled with it. I'm kind of looking at it from outside of myself. What is this? What is it doing here? What am I supposed to do with it? And I get nothing other than there is, it's not necessarily an intelligence, but I think all things have intelligence to them, so it's kind of a misnomer the way I'm saying that. But it's not like it's a being that shows up that's green, another one that shows up that's blue, another one that's purple. It's more like a burst of energy that kind of coalesces as a color and just is part of the visions, the visuals that people are able to get. It's more and more indication to me about how the veil is gone. The veil is lifted. And people are beginning to sense more and more of the movement, I call it that peripheral movement that goes on that you can't quite put your finger on, but you know there's something there and it's moving around you, and you can just sense the energetic movement. So that's been going on an awful lot, the colors that come in and out. But I'm going to stop here for a minute because I have to tell you a very, very funny story that happened just yesterday. This is kind of the strange, bizarre world that I've been living in here in the past few months. I had loaded the dishwasher, right? And I had a coffee cup that I had sitting out on the counter. And I was rinsing off dishes to put into the dishwasher. Now, the dishwasher was closed. I hadn't loaded it yet. So it was closed, and I was just kind of rinsing the dishes off and putting them on the counter. And I hit my coffee cup with another dish and literally knocked the handle off of it, broke it right off. And it was kind of like, look, I know, it was just, I hit it just at that pressure point, and it just, it was a clean break, boy. That whole handle came off, and for a moment, it was that slow motion where you could see it, you know, it's like you're watching it frame by frame, and then it just kind of, it wasn't there anymore, and I couldn't hear where it landed, and I thought, well, no, that's just really odd. So I started looking for this piece of the handle, and I mean, I looked for it everywhere. I could not find it anywhere. So then a little bit later, my friend Sherry comes in, she opens up the door, and she said, well, there's a handle inside the refrigerator, inside the dishwasher.
And it flew.
The door had been open.
And it flew in through the door of the dishwasher.
Yes.
There, dishwasher. In through the, right through the door.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Yes. Yes. Now, how bizarro is that?
So.
I find that rather just weird. At first it started this little slow tracking and, you know, thing that you're watching it frame by frame, then it kind of just dissipates. And you're like, okay, well, what the hell happened to it? I couldn't find it anywhere. And then it shows up inside of the dishwasher.
You know,
it hadn't even been opened.
Do you remember Dan Burrish?
I do.
Now, do you remember what Dan Burrish said? Not what what everybody said about him, but one of the things that he said was, after 2012, the sun will begin emitting trillions of tiny wormholes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Things will get strange because. See, because these tiny wormholes, you know, if you put too much energy, they will explode. So all of these time traveling Nazi equipments had to be closed down because otherwise. Between 2012, 2017. So we're still in the middle of this event. And when you were speaking, it sounded to me, it's like,
it was like I could see this. Right, we're going through a kind of technicolor, rainbow, cloudy, cotton candy kind of. To me, it was like little cotton candy clouds of different colors passing through your room. But not what's going on is that your room is passing through them. Is weird. This is the
there you go.
This is the weird area of space that we're traveling through. And I think this is what you're perceiving is it sounds very spectacular. I wish I could see it. Great. It's a strange universe.
It's actually quite interesting. Yes, it's really, really quite interesting. And then, you know, it's like sometimes I'll be standing. I go outside and I'll stand, and I honestly feel like somebody's all of a sudden has just spun the room around once. And then I'm looking at it from a different direction, but yet I'm still in the same spot and everything looks the same, but it feels different.
You're on the inside and the outside at the same time. You sound like David Byrne. So
it's just really, you know, it's like, okay, what do I, and so, you know, I've always had been one of those questions. So, okay, that's great. So what do I do with this? What am I supposed to do with this? So the other, and it's more of just, I think, just talking about it so that other people that may be experiencing certain things, you know,
I think so,
can
because
understand
you're not,
that,
yeah.
that there's many people doing
yes.
this.
Yes, and that people are not alone in having these
yes.
apparently strange perceptions or, apparently
certainly
strange.
Defying laws of our natural physics that we're, that we have been taught.
That
anyway.
We have been taught, but the
taught,
you know, it means an over tight string, doesn't it? It means highly strung.
Yeah, it does.
I don't like being taught. I might like to be more relaxed about things. I would like to be slightly more relaxed in the back of my neck, for instance.
Yeah, I hear you. So that spurred me into doing some more work. You know, I'm doing some more classes, and one of the classes that I'm doing at the end of September here is my timeline integration class. You've done this work with the past life regression.
I did.
Timeline
it was marvelous. It moved something very dramatically for me, I have to say. I've had some very experienced.
People have phenomenal luck with this.
Excellent, excellent. So is this like a personal session or is this a group session?
This is good. This is limited to no more than four people. It's going to be a very small group. So I will be doing one in September. Once it gets full, then I will schedule another one for October. And then in October, in the beginning of October, I have also begun a new class. It's not new to me, but it's new to everybody else. I used to teach stuff like this. And this one is all about being an empath. And what that really means, and really being able to help people navigate some of these things that they're feeling that has a definition and some kind of an understanding. That's going to be kind of a hands-on kind of class. I'm going to be talking about the different discussions that are going to take place. They're going to be some of the descriptions that we use for like psychic and clairvoyant and intuitive and sensitive and empath, what do they really mean in the grand scheme of things? And how do we utilize it? How to recognize whether you're picking up on somebody else's stuff or it's your stuff, how to handle it if you are picking up on somebody else's stuff. So they're tools. It's really all about tools to be able to navigate. I mean, I used to go out in public, and I couldn't hardly stand it. When I get too many people around me, it would be like creating an anxiety attack. It got to where, you know, I can hear people's conversations and arguments with couples across the room. And, you know, I could hear the whisperings of people talking to each other and knew the emotions. I mean, it would all just kind of flood in. And so, you know, it just gets like this really crazy, overwhelming stuff. And I had to learn how to figure out, I really had to figure out how to be able to walk into any kind of a crowded space and not allow the bombardment of whatever else was going on affect me or affect me, and how I could slow it down. In other words, so you can kind of, You're not getting everything all at once, but what you are getting is what's needed, so that you can kind of gauge what the room is like. And we've all done it. We've all walked into a room. We might have felt really, really down, and we walk into a room, and all of a sudden we just feel buoyant and happy. Or the reverse could be true, right? And this is learning how to understand if the energies already exist, if you're helping to create it, if you're helping to sustain it. If you want to keep the energy as it is, how do you do that? How do you disconnect without like, you know, hanging up on somebody, so, you know, like running from the room, screaming from the building kind of a thing? So this empathic class is really going to be a hands-on experience where people can kind of delve into their own things. And they only give their first name, so nobody will know who you are unless you identify yourself and where you're from. But it's learning how to identify your own sensitivity, your trigger points, how to define what your unique sensitivities are. So that's coming up in the 1st of October. And all of those classes are currently being held on Sundays, Sunday afternoons. So if anybody's interested, they can go to my website, which is journeyswithrebecca.com, then click on the classes. There's full descriptions and how to sign up and the dates and how many people are going to, you know, are able to join the class at one given time. So lots of information there on that. And as well as on the JWR radio page, it'll be where they can go in and listen to or watch the new show on Project Camelot TV and all the other hosts. It's not just about me. It's like Wolf Spirit Radio. There's more than just you there. There's other hosts as well. So it's kind of one of those things. It's going to have all of those links. And, wow, I mean, that's a lot for the minute, I guess. But it, you know, they've been, even though I've been off the air for a year, and I came on and chatted with you about a month or so ago, just before you, I think before you got, your internet went down and yeah. We chatted for a little bit. They've been talking to me for the past year, and, you know, I've done my own shifting and changing, and, you know, they have come forward, they being my Elohim, and they've come forward and have given, shared a ton of information. And I'm glad you brought up the whole wormhole thing, because that was another thing that, you know, I think I remember, if you remember, I used to talk about that, and I used to have those visions where I was popping in and out of wormholes, and how they told me how you can sense whether or not a wormhole is something you should go through or not based on how it feels, the color of it. Because some wormholes you go to, they're dead ends, or they close up, and there's some that don't. And it's how you can literally traverse this whole globe by using the wormholes that exist already on this planet. And it's really there's a billion things we could talk about.
All right, well, no, let's talk
about wormholes. We got just about a couple of minutes, but maybe we can start a wormhole at this side of the break, and then and apparently it's bound to be weird. I don't know what's going to happen, but when the break music comes on, it's going to be completely arse-ended. So we're just going to have to get used to this one. It happens once in a while. I don't know what's happened. You know, all the commercials are all in a kind of different order. Different order. Let's just say different. Yes.
Different, yes. Different.
Yeah. So, wormholes. Wormholes, Rebecca. I remember the, what was that, Deep Space Nine, when
yes.
Captain Sisko found himself inside a wormhole, and then he's heard, you know, a voice, and the wormhole actually spoke to him and asked him, you know, hey, why do you exist here? And, you know, there was this big part of him that was still going over the trauma of losing his wife in this battle. You know, it kept on saying, why do you exist here? That was a great show. So
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Wormholes. So, what happens if you meet a wormhole? How do you, I mean, we're not perceiving them because we're just going through them, aren't we? Or they're going through us, or what's happening?
Well, you know, everything has an intelligence. It has some kind of an energetic signature. I talk about that in any class I ever do. I talk about the energetic signatures. I talk about that in just about anything, right? And the energetic signatures are what's important. As long as you can learn how to read those signatures, you will get a better understanding of whether it's something you should do is to go through it or not to go through it.
All right.
And that's based on an intuitive feeling.
Let's put a pin right there. Energetic signatures of wormholes. Okay, remember that, everybody. Energetic signatures of wormholes. We'll be back on the other side of this, what seems to be a normal breaker. Okay. So, by that long absence, I assume that the commercials are finished now. It's all over the place tonight. Well, welcome back to Journeys with JP and Journeys with Rebecca. About to embark on another turn of the spiral. Spiraling back up through the evolution of from audio to video and beyond. So, how... where we begin is where we left off, which was the energetic signatures of wormholes. Wormholes being individual little beings, each with their own personality, flavor, color. How do we... I mean, do we sniff them? Do we look at the color? Do we... I mean, what? How do you find the energetic signature of a wormhole?
Well, first of all, you have to be able to see or sense the wormhole, number one. Not everybody can. The most interesting thing about wormholes, in my opinion, is the fact that they are not, they're not stable. They're not stationary. Not all of them, anyway. They shift, just like, you know, I've been talking about, I went outside and I felt like I'd went in a circle, but yet my view was the same, but yet the energies had shifted. Wormholes are the same. That's one of the things that they were telling me about, back in, 2009 or 10, I think is when that series of visions came through about the wormholes and the signatures of them. I was presented with different geographical places, and they kept me in the United States for the most part. And I think that's all for my own comfortability, you know, my own comfortability level. And they would place me in front of different places. One of them I do remember was, you know, something similar to the Grand Canyon. I wasn't actually in the Grand Canyon, but a place that if you were to look at a postcard or something and see those big cliffs and everything, or even out in New Mexico or parts of Arizona where there's big rock outcroppings, right? And the first place that they put me, they stood me there, and I was like, okay, and so now what am I supposed to do? There was nothing there that I could see at the moment. And so then I felt something shift, and I looked, and I could sense that even though it looked solid, it wasn't solid. And so I put my hand out, and it went through what I perceived to be a solid rock, but it wasn't. When I put my hand in it, it kind of expanded, and it became this space, this area, this space. So then I stood back, and then I began to tune in to what was it that I was looking at? What was I viewing? Was it a portal? Was it a wormhole? And portals will appear much the same way into people as a wormhole will, not once you get in it, but it, sometimes it can be seen and sometimes it can't, is what I mean by that statement. In this particular case, the first thing that they showed me was a portal. It was not a wormhole. So then all of a sudden I was taken somewhere else, and I was stood in front of this area that was a large grassy hill. And again, I looked at it and I couldn't see anything, and then I shifted my view again and looked at it again, and I could tell that this was not really like the last place I was at, which was a portal. This one was more defined. It was more round, but it also had more energy to it. It felt stronger. It felt almost compelling to walk through it. And so as I got closer to it, that's when I was given the instructions that I needed to look at how the energy was flowing. In other words, was it flowing in a spiral? Was it flowing evenly? Was it flowing backwards or forwards, you know, according to my perception? Now, this is would be my perception. How did that energy signature feel? Did it feel like it was strong? Did it feel like it was stable? Did it feel more unstable? That's not the word I want to use. Did it feel less than sturdy, I guess? And then it was getting up into the wormhole and then sensing if it had some kind of a color that I could feel. Even if I couldn't see it, could I feel an emanation of color coming from it? It would have its own vibrational signature to it. And then as I peered into the wormhole, does it feel like that it goes and goes, or does it feel like it just goes for a little bit and stop? Does it feel like that energy continues? So, you know, in your mind's eye, you can travel, you can see it. If you don't put limitations on what it is that you can see or sense or feel, you will get those, that pieces of information. You just can't, you cannot preload yourself, you cannot predetermine what you're going to see, how you're going to see it, how it shows up. Because one of the things that I found with every wormhole that I went through, because I went through a couple, they don't all feel the same. They don't all sense the same, and they don't all work the same. Some popped me literally from one spot over to another spot, and I was only a few feet away. And then others would pop me from one side of the United States to the other side of the United States. And I could come out in some of the strangest places. The weirdest place I came out, I came up this one wormhole, and I stuck my head out, and I was eye level with pavement, and there was a car coming by. It was pretty freaky. But there was a wormhole right next to a road. And that's where I came out at.
And you
so
know,
I was
when
able
you,
to go, go
so,
ahead.
So when you come out, I mean, are you coming out bodily?
Yes.
Or you know, just like you have to push yourself out. Is there, you know, how does gravity work?
No, it moves you along. It moved me along. When I walked into one, I could sense, I was like, okay, well, this is going to lead me somewhere. This is going to take me, and it's going to have an open end to it. In other words, I'm not going to be stuck. And I'll talk about those in a minute. So when I went into this particular one, it wasn't a real long journey, obviously. It was just a little short one. But it took me from one end to the other, and it moved me along. I could sense that I could sense from the wormhole itself that my presence of walking through there was not did not irritate or agitate it. I wasn't agitating it. It wasn't agitating me. So there was nothing negative about it, is what I'm saying. I felt like it was just like getting on an escalator, and the escalator doesn't care who gets on it. Just get on it, do your job, get off, right? And then, you know, because that's what I'm here to do, is to take you one place and you go another. And you end in another spot, from the top to bottom or bottom to top, if you're talking about an escalator.
Interesting. Okay. So they have character. Do some seem more friendly when you move through them?
Well, that brings me to the one that I stepped into, and I didn't step into it. I stepped up to it. Let me reframe that. I stepped up to it, and I got looking at it, and I thought this one doesn't feel right. Something's not right with it. And so here's when I kind of put my hand in it, and I felt it, and it felt cold and clammy. That's the only, you know, it's my senses, so don't get caught up in how I felt about it. It's just how I felt about it. It's my body's reaction to something that didn't work right for me. So I stuck my hand in it, and I was like, and I pulled it out, and I was like, well, that doesn't feel right. And they said, because that's one of those that doesn't go anywhere. You get into it, and if it's one of those that doesn't stay open all the time and it collapses, then you could get stuck in there until it decides it wants to open back up again. Or if another wormhole opens up somewhere close to where you're at, that you can get back out. So there is some danger in getting caught in these wormholes that aren't really wormholes. See, the wormholes work on obviously energetics, not really a grid system. I don't really know what to call it.
Like a mesh, they have a network?
Like a network. But it's not like they say, okay, like on this network, like, you know, if you type something into your computer and you go in to look for it, it's always going to be in that same spot, right? You can always know that if you type this in, you're going to go there. It's always going to be there on your network, right? I'm going to go to that printer and it's going to print off, right? So you're on that network. But if somebody has rearranged some of those wires and you type that thing in, you may not be at that printer. You may end up being at a fax machine and not know it. You see what I'm saying? So even though it's on the same network, it doesn't always have the same address.
So there, I mean, this is something that I've also experienced, is that there is a, on the internet, right? When you type in www.google.com, for instance, it will give you a number like 95.57.32.64, for instance, as, you know, this random number off the top of my head. I wonder what's at that address. But if you... The way that works, it's just like an old-fashioned telephone directory, and it's called a directory server or a directory name server or a DNS. That, if you say want to go to, you know, planet Vega 3, you know, third planet out, that there is a kind of addressing system for traversing portals and things like that, and that there is a cosmic version of the DNS. And on one of my journeys, I discovered that it had been hacked and needed rebooting. How about that?
Oh, I believe that. I believe that. So, you know, when you're working with wormholes, it's... or playing in them, or just trying to learn about them, you kind of have to let yourself understand that just because you found one in one spot one day doesn't mean when you go back it's going to be there. It could have been redirected. It could be closed down. It could come back. It could be 2 inches one way or the other, above, below, beside where you were at. And because the network changes the, you know, address of that wormhole, will depend on whether that wormhole is stable or if it's collapsible, or whether it's going to go anywhere or not go anywhere. Because if the address changes, what it was a workable wormhole before may not be a workable one now. So, you know, that was the really big lesson that they were giving me, is how to sense if you decide you're going to traverse them here on the planet. And that's the best way to learn how to do that, is to do it on the planet as opposed to, you know, doing it somewhere else that you don't know. It also gives you a better understanding of how the energetics work on this planet. People don't really understand it as well as they could, because we've all been taught the science. Well, the science is a little skewed right in the moment, because the rules have kind of changed slightly. There's some things that remain very same or similar, but not necessarily identical. So when you're learning about these wormholes, you're testing your own skills and capabilities. How does it feel to you? And if you don't get a sense, then it's not one of the areas that maybe that you should be starting out with, or you know, delving into anymore. You start out with different things, like You can start out with just standing in your ground somewhere, you know, a park if you don't, or backyard, or somebody else's backyard, whatever, some place where you have just a little bit of private space, and just sense if you can feel the energy running. I don't know about anybody else, but that's the other thing recently that's also transpired, is because the energetics are extremely strong right now, I mean, to me, they are. And I can go out and walk on, you know, walk, and I can literally feel the movement of these energy lines. You can tell where they're, what was the word that you used a little bit ago, like dispelling energy, and when they're drawing it in, when, you know, their energy, it fluctuates, and you can feel it, and was it coming from up, or is it going down, is it, where is it coming from? You can just, you know, it's almost like you can feel the earth herself moving as you're walking on it, and it also feels somewhat not solid.
Yeah, and I think that's the I would, you know, there's various levels of squishiness or foofiness, you know, about, you know, you're walking on ground, or you're, it's like, you know, the feeling of walking through snow, being, you know, wearing boots, and, you know, wide boots, or wearing narrow boots, walking on snow, you know, and stuff like that. The feeling of walking on custard, for instance, if anybody's ever made a bowl of custard large enough to walk on, you could imagine.
Okay, no, I haven't. I can't say that I've done
actually
that.
Did you know? All right, okay. I've gone down. Here's a rabbit hole, right? Custard can be run on because corn flour forms this very strange, it's a kind of crystalline liquid, which you know, custard is basically corn flour with the flavoring. But if you just leave out the flavoring and make corn flour, you can hit it with a hammer and it will resist it. But if you push yourself in slowly, it will then absorb you. I think they call
it... I did not know that.
Ooglik or something. Used to be potty putty. Do you remember potty putty? I keep talking...
Silly putty?
Silly putty, yeah. And you could
silly
do the...
yes.
Yeah, that's just... It's just corn flour with a bit of red dye in it, you know. Now we know.
I did not know that.
So, custard, right? If you make, and I've seen it, I think either Mythbusters or somebody, the British equivalent of Mythbusters, which I think was something to do with Jeremy Clarkson's Top Gear show. Anyway, so custard, if you made a large sort of tray of custard, about 2 inches thick. You'd need a cement mixer and stuff like that, but you could do it. And they did for this TV show. And they demonstrated. They got a runner, and this runner ran along the top of custard. And it was like walking on solid ground, running on solid, you know, like on tarmac. If you hit it hard enough. It's ooglik.
Well, now, see, that's some strange stuff there, dude. That's strange. But, you know, truth can be stranger than fiction, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's kind of what it felt like then, is walking on custard. That's what it feels like.
Sorry. Yeah, this is what it's like to walk on custard.
And all right. I don't know. Have you been having these experiences, too, where, like, I'll go to, like, let's say I'm leaning up against a wall, you know, or leaning against something. All of a sudden, it just feels like it's not there anymore.
Soft reality. Soft reality. It's a strange phenomenon. Have I experienced it? I don't know. I think I break things all the time, but who knows what's going on with reality? You know, I think I'm just clumsy, but maybe, like you're saying, maybe I'm just experiencing the same, but you're noticing that it's not you that's doing it. Like, the reality is definitely changing around you. I know people might say, that's just an excuse and you're just making it up. But you're just clumsy and you break stuff. Or, no, actually there was a wormhole and half of it flew off and went through the door, and I really, you know... It's
Yeah.
So the weird stuff happens to people all the time, and most of the time people don't notice it. They kind of just blink and turn, you know, turn around and forget about it until they hear a show such as this and they say, oh my, I denied that. And I think a lot of people's psychic experiences are of that order, that they saw things and then they wiped it up.
Yeah, they blew it off. And you know, I have to tell you that on occasion still, I still find myself doing things like that. And it's rare, but I do. But most of the time it catches my attention. I go, okay, so what is this? What, you know, that tells me that there's these changes that are afoot, and it's really literally affecting everyone's reality. And to what degree will depend on how aware you are or how not aware you are. And whether you're aware or not, it's still affecting your reality. I think is the most interesting thing to me is thinking about, well, so how much of this is affecting my reality? What a part about this is my reality? What is this reality? Having a conversation with someone the other day, and then I quit talking, and then a few minutes later, I looked up and I was like, okay, it was as if that conversation took place in a different timeline. And there's now another conversation beginning to take place.
Timelines. Timelines! They said there was a new timeline. And we've been talking about it, you and I, and, you know, your
years.
Elohim have been talking about it. For years, you've been calling it the new normal, and we've
yes.
been exploring the new weird, because
yes.
we do, that's what we do. I'm just thinking of that Stargate episode where they take the piss out of themselves, and that's what we do.
Yeah, that's right. Let me address Dolly here in the chat room. She says, I've experienced of looking at something and it starts to wave, as when you see heat waves, thought it was just me. That's an indication that that's the ripple. That's that squishiness that I was telling you about. It can, and for you it shows up like that heat wave, right? And it can shift, Dolly. At some point it can shift, and you won't be seeing it like that. Instead, it'll show up a different way, but it is the same thing. As your perspective becomes accustomed to it, it becomes a bigger picture for you. It changes a little bit, because how you perceive things is how you understand. And then the more you understand, the greater your perspective shows, and that's what allows for the change in the experience, although we could be talking about the same thing. I hope I'm not confusing you with what I just said. So that's an ideal example right there, what she said, where, you know, you can see the heat and it ripples, has that ripple effect, that wavy look. That's the other way, by the way, that you can look and see if there's wormholes. Sometimes they'll show up like that for you as well. They'll have this kind of, you'll look at something and it'll seem solid, and then it just kind of gets that little wavy effect. And you know it's not heat wave in that one particular spot that you're focused on. Or it could be a portal. There are, you know, portals are very different than wormholes. And they act differently, they react differently, and they're altogether different. But anyway, so that is the new normal for you, Dolly, so just so you know.
Well, Dolly's new normal also includes visit, you know, he's got his own bloody chair in our room. He just goes and visits her. Our old mate Dave is visiting Dolly in her corner of the astral plane. you know, he just comes and hangs out and grabs her butt every so often, you know.
Chats. Yeah. Understood. Yeah, I do. Miss him a lot.
Yeah.
Not going to go there. We love him. We miss him. And we always will honor him.
That's right.
Cough a cup.
Cup of
coffee. I said it right. Cough a cuppy.
That's right. I'm off my cough a cuppy.
Off my cough a cuppy. Yep. Anyway. Wormholes. They're fascinating topics. They're fascinating experiences. They're also can be treacherous and dangerous. So if you're not sure what you're doing, then don't do it. That's for sure. But if it's a good place to start is just to, you know, is to, especially something that's taller than yourself, such as a hill or a rock outcropping or, something that's natural to the landscape. Although I have seen these, by the way, in buildings, especially in abandoned buildings, because they were built on, you know, some kind of a natural energetic system, whether it be a portal or a wormhole. So you can find those in there. So I always have wondered about those people that do those ghost hunting shows and how they haven't run across them. So anyway, there you go. So it's a place to start for people.
A lot of these paranormal shows, I think, I don't know these days, because I really don't watch any of them, and I don't watch any media.
Right.
All I do is look at edits of videos that I produce myself. Anyway, like proofreading books and things.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, dude.
Yeah, I know, but it's a bit isolated. It's a bit ivory tower. You know, here I am building little machines that make colours. Which, by the way, this electronic stuff that I've been doing, I've been exploring the difference between RGB and HSL, hue, saturation, and lightness, versus red, green, and blue. And the colours that I'm getting out of the LEDs is very rich, and I've got it to pulse out. My house is full of little things that like kind of light up nowadays. Some of them light up according to stimulus, and some of them just kind of do this thing, and it's like I'm making little beings that are alight, little light beings. Oh, there's a thought. Light beings. There's a name for them. I might do that because I can knock one up in half an hour without planning it with a circuit board. You know, I can just like make it out by heart, as it were. You know, like playing a song by heart. I can make a circuit by heart now. That's what I've been learning over the last month. So I've been at sort of Jedi technical school, where I've been, learning more deeply about electronics than I ever cared to look at. And now I understand it and it makes sense. You know?
You've been given instructions.
Yeah, and I was very irascible during that. I was in a very, what I call a fifth ray mode. And, you know, just to bring Dave back into that, you know, Dave had this fifth ray personality, the way Dave could be sometimes was quite gruff, you know, and I similarly have been in this very kind of gruff way, which is unusual for me, because I'm usually, oh, hello, come have a cup of tea. It's like, I'm like, go away.
I've seen you on your grumpy side.
So
it doesn't happen very often.
And that's when people need, that's the sign, you know, that's the sign. Like, just go away. And actually this afternoon Alex was saying this, and you know, he said it several times. He was saying, you know, and the cabal, they just need to go away. I mean, they just need to go away. They just need to go away. You just need to go away. He just kept saying it over and over again.
Just go away. Go away, 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 away.
That's
go
right.
away.
I do not consent. Anyway, and all that stuff. So it was quite.
I'm in agreement.
It's time, isn't it? It's just time. You know, we've got some
it
new
is.
People who
it's an old
are.
Record. We need to change it.
Yeah, we got some new people who are willing to take responsibility and not gain power.
Yep.
Who are willing to do things right, and really know the consequences of being selfish from the other side.
Yes.
So...
it's quite amazing to watch. Even, like, over here, you know, we have this political race going on. You know, we're going to elect a new president, supposedly, next year. And we've got people crawling out of the woodworks that are, you know, vying for, you know, a nomination to be put onto the ballot, you know, to see if they can win the presidency of the United States. And I was watching some of the videos of some of the candidates, potential candidates, as they were addressing either Congress or Senate, or if they were addressing groups or what have you. I'm not quite sure what's drawn me into all that, because I really, really don't like politics at all. But I've watched a little bit of it, more so than I ever did. And I get a ray of hope. I truly do, that we could have the potential of having some pretty decent people in. And some of the things that they're saying, they're talking about, you know, if you're going to do this for yourself, then you have to do it for the American people. This entitlement thing has got to stop. So we've got some political forerunners out there that are making a loud noise about this disparity between them and us, as if there should be some kind of a classification of them and us, right? We're all still part of the human race. And it's been, some of these people have been quite delightful. And then the others are just, you know, it's just like you can see the puppet strings, and they just say what they think they're supposed to say. But the ones that are making the most noise and getting the most attention are the ones that are saying, enough is enough. And this is why this isn't right. This is why this isn't, we're not going to do this way anymore. So, you know, we've got a lot of noise going on over here in the United States. And I think in a very positive way. I mean, there's been a lot of notoriety with a few of the candidates that have, you know, shaken up that wasp nest a little bit, and it's time. It's beyond time for us to have, across the world, not just this country, across the world, to shake up, you know, these governmental mandates that somehow if you're in the government, it makes you separate and better than the rest of humanity, as if, you know, you don't drink the same water and breathe the same air, right?
I mean, well, I mean, actually, they're trying to fit. They're trying to make that happen. But before they do that, I'd like to remind you again of a previous guest of yours, Mr. Cliff High, who occasionally texts me with various things during Sean's show. But one of the key words that was coming through, the webbot,
yes,
the grandmother's revolution. Do you remember that meme? Because I'm watching it, Rebecca, and I'm you know, it's starting and it's happening and it's joyful and it's wonderful. So you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's a revolution by women who know what's going on. You don't get to being grandmother by being disconnected from reality. You know, grandmothers know what's going on, know what's real, and know what they don't want anymore, if given the choice. And now it's the time that they can exercise that choice, I believe. And so, you know, that's what I see, and that's what I've seen as part of why I'm here, is to allow that to happen. Does that make sense?
Well,
support that.
Yes. And I'm going to echo his words. It's time for them to leave. Just leave. Go. They're done. We need to put a fork in them and make them go away. That's what I, when I came on to the show tonight, that's one of the things I said. There's a war going on, and the war is about people making choices. what is your choice going to be, and are you going to follow that path? And, you know, most everybody that's listening to this show that follow you, or those that have followed me, and the other people like us that try to give information, and assistance and guidance and, you know, expand whatever the case may be. Because all I'm doing is sharing what's given to me. It's not like I have ownership of it at all. But we're being given this information, and we make a choice. The choice is which path do you want to be on? Which choice do you want to make? And we've really gotten out of that, it's all about me, it's all about me. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't take care of yourself, and you shouldn't think of yourself and explore yourself. That's not it. But it's about losing the greed. It's about losing the I'm entitled. It's about losing the victimhood. It's about losing all those things that don't hold us in a higher state of consciousness or being. It literally holds us in a space of the past. And if you're in the past, you can't be in the present, and certainly can't move into the future. So, you know, so the choices are there. They're there for each and every one of us. And, you know, you walk the walk and you talk the talk. And I'm glad to see that you brought up the, you know, and I had forgotten all about the grandmother's meme. I really had. I'd really forgotten about that. I have slept a day or two since then, I think. And everything seems to be so far in the distant past to me, JP. I just have a really hard time going, God, was that just like, what, last year? Was that last minute? When was that? Time has no relevance to me whatsoever. Yeah. I have to actually keep an eye on the clock in order to know what I'm supposed to be doing.
Isn't that what the peas were talking about?
Yeah.
That's what the peas were talking about, yes, a couple of years ago. And here I am. I'm just reminding you of things that the people on your show have said because I've been paying attention. Isn't that handy that there are people who are paying attention to you just to remind you of you know, what you've facilitated, you see? You know, what I loved about listening to Journeys was many of the guests that you had reflected the people that I'd made study of in past times, you know, that I've read. Anastasia, right? I was probably your only listener who had actually read the book of the guy who was on the show. You know,
right.
And for me, that was amazing. And you brought those worlds together for me. You know, those worlds of things that I've seen, you know, as like just in a magazine or maybe read the book of, into somebody that I could send a message to and ask a question of. And that was magic. That was a milestone of consciousness bridged. It made that person just the same as any other person. And it made us all equal. The internet makes us all equal. We can all, anybody can have a radio show. Anybody can have a TV show. Just do it well. Just make it so that people have a good time when you do it. That's what I try to do. I try to be entertaining. I hope I am. I think my humor is cheesy, but you know, it's better than some people that you hear. You know, it's not the worst. I think, yeah. If there's anything on the gravestone, it'll be JP. He wasn't the worst.
No, my dear, you're not. You're actually doing pretty good. And you know, and I think that's important is for people to understand is that every time you do a show, you try to bring forth the best part of you here onto the air so that people can relate to that good part of you. I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't have bad hair days when we come on, because that's not true. There's been times when I've been on the air and it's been a struggle to be on the air because, you know, whatever my day was like or I wasn't feeling well, whatever the case may be. But we do our best to try to bring forth the best information. And as I've said, the reason why I decided to do the radio show and bring on guests was because it isn't all about me. I'm not the only one that has the information. And I'm just as enthralled when somebody comes on And I don't think that people really understand that. When I have a guest on, it's somebody that has piqued my interest. And maybe it's piqued my interest because I've heard this person needs to be on because there's something here that other people need to hear. So the messages aren't always for me. They're sometimes already for the audience that they certainly know more about who's going to show up than I do at that time, right? When it's in the future, right? So these guests, though, that I have piqued my interest. And I try to give them a format, a place where they could feel free and not be lambasted for their beliefs. It's not that I believed everything that my guests have said. Just like I don't expect everybody to believe what I say, because the truth is the truth for the individual. If the shoe fits, you can wear, and if it doesn't fit, then maybe it lies outside of the parameters of whatever the topic is or whatever they're discussing. But I try to, and just like you do, you try to give the floor to people and allow them to express themselves so that they can share their ideas, their thoughts, their information, so that those that are out there listening can get help, can get information, can get inspiration, and can do some research on their own. Maybe it piqued their interest and it ignites something in them. You just never know. You know, you just never know. And, you know, of course, I try to laugh in every one of my shows. Some of my guests, by the way, took personal offense to that. I have to tell you, I've had a few guests that wouldn't come back on because they didn't like my laugh.
They thought that you were laughing at them, yeah.
No, they didn't like my laugh.
Oh.
How could they do such a thing? My laugh irritated them. Oh. I don't know. Oh. You know, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, believe it or not.
Look.
I'm okay with that.
If 5% of people...
That's the point.
Exactly. Go ahead.
No, it's just that's the point. The point is that I bring on people, and some of them I didn't necessarily gel with really well, but I gave them the opportunity and the respect to share that information because it was helpful to somebody else out there listening. I don't have to agree with them. You know? But I also had somebody that I asked to come back on the show. I thought they were really good guests, and they kind of politely said, well, you're a little too relaxed on air for my liking. So they didn't appreciate my fireside chat thing. Like, it's all good.
Well, you know,
it's all good.
It's fine, you know, because anybody who is that stuck up about it, you wouldn't want on the show anyway. Hey.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because their information really was very positive and powerful. It really was. They just didn't like, they thought I was still a bit too informal. They were pretty formal people. You know, they were very clean and cut and dry, and this is the information. And the delivery was impeccable. I have to tell you, the delivery from this guest to the audience was impeccable. Absolutely astounding. But outside of the parameter of delivering the information that they were talking about, it didn't exist. There was no personality, there was no, you know, a fun banter or lightheartedness or any of that. And, you know, we can get this information and sometimes it can get pretty intense. And you can almost hear everyone holding their breath, right, as they're waiting for this last pieces of information to come through. So you kind of want to lighten the load a little bit so everybody can breathe again, right? You can just feel it. Yeah. And so they took exception to that, I guess. And, you know, I have stories from, you know, the last 13 years I've been doing radio. And some of them are just, they just tickle me. You know, I look back on them and, you know, like the people that would get drunk on air and stuff, and you just go, gosh, do they not understand what this show is? This isn't, you know, Journeys with Rebecca at the local bar. It was really interesting.
You know, what's wrong with the bar thing? Because sometimes bars, that's where you get an unusual grouping of people, don't you?
Well, I'm strata. Not cutting down bars. I'm cutting down getting drunk on air.
It's the whole the getting drunk is a bit of a problem.
Especially if you're trying to produce and pouring of the liquor, and the drinking, and then 20 minutes later they're slurring their words and
they're yelling,
and then they're all talking about partying and stuff. You're like, look, this is we're not on the boat in the middle of the Caribbean somewhere having pina coladas, dude. Oh, we're on the radio.
Really? Well, no, I haven't had that experience, but, that's the thing,
lucky you.
Not yet. Most of my people have been quite cogent and, present. Much more than me, which is great, because it's great to talk to people who are more sharp than yourself, because you can just focus yourself a little bit more to get what they're saying. I have Solara's Blue Raven, right? She's like mentally like this clean, clear lines and surfaces, she's like that, one of these science fiction movie kind of minds, and it's great. It's like a Jedi training to speak with her and keep up and understand where her thoughts are taking you. It's very cogent, but it's delivered in this rapid fire way. It's brilliant. I love it. So anyway, and she doesn't talk about much on her, she doesn't talk that much on her own show. So it's always good to get her on the show and just let her fly. And people like that, people who with a high mind, people with a heart and heart mind and that sort of. Did you ever have Greg Braden talking about heart mind?
Have I ever heard him talk about heart mind?
Did you ever have Greg Braden on Journeys?
No, I did not. Actually, isn't that interesting? He's one of the very few that I didn't even try, and I actually like his work. I don't know why I didn't try to get him on.
Well, I tell you, he's got a hairdo. He's got a hairdo. He's got a good hair.
He does have a hairdo. He's always been known for his hairdo.
Exactly. You see, and so he's ideal TV show material. I'm just hinting here.
Oh, I see.
Since you're starting a TV show, when you're starting a TV show,
tomorrow,
come on, speak louder, a bit louder. Tomorrow, louder.
Tomorrow, Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central Time. And as we've been sitting here, I've been getting some additional information. I should be having links fairly soon tonight, hopefully, about where people can go listen. But if not, if it's too late for the show, please check out my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. I will put up the links there for those who are not on my mailing list. And you can do so by just going and signing up on the front page. And I try to send them out, newsletters out about once a week. Sometimes it might be once every 2 weeks if things do not change and the guests are all the same and there isn't any new information. I only try to send it out every other week. I have sent it out quite a few times here over the past 2 weeks because there's been so many changes. Every time I turned around, there was another change. And I didn't know how to get everybody informed as to, how the changes were coming about. And I was also advertising for some assistance for Carrie and some other stuff. So there was a lot of that going on. But it's free. And if you ever get tired of it, there's an unsubscribe button at the bottom. You can just unsubscribe from it. It goes through an email program, sort of a newsletter program. So once I send it out, it does all the everything else. It signs people up and takes them off and stuff like that. I don't have anything to do with it. It just does it depending on the activity. So it's all good that way.
Okay. I just want to bring Hawk in because he just came on and then went off because I was waiting for you to finish your...
I'm sorry.
Oh, good. There we go. It's going on to an answer phone. We don't want that. All right. Well, Hawk, what happened? I don't know. Just listen at the end of the hour. The calls are going through to me if you wish to call. just check on the at the end of the hour. You'll hear the end of this show and then the beginning of the next show, and then the commercials go on after that, and then they stop into dead air. It's all out of order. So, Rebecca, you've got the show happening tomorrow. You've got what's the regularity? Is it every day, every week, every month?
No, every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central Time, and every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. So I have two shows a week, and they're done once a week, each show. So I'm doing two shows a week, 1 hour show during the day, and then the 2 hour show in the evening. And they all have guests on at this time. I have an astrologer, I have somebody coming on talking about Tesla products and Tesla himself. And then I've got a couple of alternative doctors with some breakthroughs in cellular regeneration and things like that. And I've got Robert Morningsky coming back, The History of Womankind. Yay. One of my favorite people. I've got Nick Redfern coming on, and I've got Marie Jones coming on with Larry Flaxman on mind control. That's just right off the top of my head. I have some UFO people coming on and some phenomenon, and I'm also working with some other people, getting some people that have just been out to some archaeological digs and some of the new things that they have found and markings and stuff like that. So we'll be getting into all of that. Just lots of different things coming up. And then again, as a reminder to people, check out the schedule for the new shows or the new classes that I have. If anybody has any questions, they can always email me, Rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com.
Fantastic. JourneysWithRebecca.com. Indeed. And, so, you know, we're all expanding. Last year, when I'd finished hacking into Dave's accounts in order to get, you know, wrest control of the station and the website and everything, he'd hidden. Dave, he was very secure about things.
Yes, he was.
I felt like a mouse in one of his mazes. That's right. Once I did that, I thought, right, okay, so, all right. So now you've got allspiritradio.com, Andy's left some cash in it. I bought wallspirit.tv and wallspiritradio.tv. I bought it then, and I thought, I just put a placeholder. And I just seem to keep doing this, and so watch what I'm doing right now, and you'll see what manifests in a couple of years' time. I haven't got content for it, but I've got the container. I need to build the container first. This is what seems to happen. I suppose you have to build the hardware before you build the software, and if you've got a website, that's the hardware, as it were, and the content is the software on the next dimension down. And that's the way dimensions work. It's just like, you know, different levels of concentration of beingness and of purpose.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have to say, JP, I'm certainly glad you're back. I certainly have missed you. I know everybody else has too. And I look forward to some more time together, and hopefully we'll connect up sooner than later, and we won't let so much time pass. And I'll be having you on my show as well. And we're just going to keep sharing. That's what this is about. It's about sharing. It's sharing information, sharing people, sharing it all. So it's all good.
You mean I got to wear that tight collar again? Anyway, listen, I want to give a shout out to everybody who's been brilliant during my time in the void, because it's been quite a journey for everybody, and everybody's really stepped up. And whoa, there we go. See, this is not the right thing. Anyway, thanks very much, everybody. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you. Oh God, I'm forgetting everybody's name. Michelle, Nancy, Richard. Who? Vanessa, Dolly, Rebecca. Thank you very much. JennysRebecca.com. Bye bye. Good night. Good night, Steve.
Travis, I am the voice.
Well, how strange. There we go.